This is the AR Podcast.
I never believed in Santa Claus. None of us kids did. Mom and Dad refused to let us. They couldn't afford expensive presents, and they didn't want us to think we weren't as good as other kids who, on Christmas morning, found all sorts of fancy toys under the tree that were supposedly left by Santa Claus. Dad had lost his job at the gypsum, and when Christmas came that year, we had no money at all. On Christmas Eve, Dad took each one of us kids out into the desert night, one by one. "Pick out your favorite star," Dad said. "I like that one," I said. Dad grinned. "That's Venus," he said. He explained to me that planets glowed because reflected light was constant, and stars twinkled because their light pulsed. "I like it anyway," I said. "What the hell?" Dad said. "It's Christmas, you can have a planet if you want." Then he gave me Venus. Venus didn't have any moons or satellites or even a magnetic field, but it did have an atmosphere, sort of similar to Earth's. Except it was super hot, about 500 degrees or more. "So," Dad said, "when the sun starts to burn out and the Earth turns cold, everyone might want to move to Venus to get warm. And they have to get permission from your descendants first." We laughed about all the kids who believed in Santa myth and got nothing for Christmas but a bunch of cheap plastic toys. "Years from now, when all the junk they got is broken and long forgotten," Dad said, "you will still have your stars." Hey guys, this is Ali Ruskash, the only host of the AR Podcast. I think that little passage of the book, The Glass Castle, should be enough to push you into reading the masterpiece. The memoir details the story of Jeanette Walls and her family. Constantly short on cash and food, the family moves around the country frequently and tries to resettle. I'm not going to say anything else about it. I certainly enjoyed the book, and I'm sure you will too, once you start reading it. Anyways, thank you all for listening to the first episode of the podcast. You have no idea how amazing it is to know that people actually enjoy what you really work hard on. It gives you all the momentum you need to continue. So, thank you again. Good news, guys. In addition to the podcast app, Stitcher, Telegram, and Instagram, you can now find the AR Podcast on Twitter and YouTube as well. Search for the AR Podcast and subscribe today. The person I have on the podcast today is a miracle worker. She works with children and runs different classes, with the focus solely on child development. A great person to talk to. Please welcome Talo Purbaho.
This is the AR Podcast.
Thank you so much for... I'm sitting in front of somebody that I think is doing a very important thing in our society. We need more people like you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And I'm sitting inside your house, and your house is, when I came in, the only thing that I saw was the view.
No.
I'm like, this is amazing. I can see the entire north of Tehran, basically. It's yeah. Right in front of me. Why did you choose this place?
For this view.
Oh, yeah. Now I can see.
Yeah. That is just reason that I choose here. It's this view.
Yeah. It is beautiful. I think during night, it must be even more beautiful.
For me, yes.
Okay.
But for the others, no. In the night, every light of cities shining,
yeah.
And it is... dreamy, I think.
Yeah.
It's like Disney's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Bling, bling, bling.
Yeah, you can actually see it. And even like the cars that are moving become beautiful at night.
Yeah.
Because they're moving lights, basically.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody and he said one of the reasons
The pilots during war could drop bombs on people was because they couldn't see the movements of people in the cities. They were too far away to understand that there is movement. So they couldn't really understand if there's life. But you're not that far away, and you're not so close, so you can actually see life, and you can enjoy it. And you're far away from there's no, pressure or anything. You just feel like there's no pressure. But anyways, I was attracted to this view.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I want to buy your house. thank you so much for the time. Can you tell us more about the things that you do?
Yes. I have a creativity class, I have classes in two different age groups, but I think there is not major importance in the level of the comprehension, intelligence, and creativity between different ages.
I see.
So it's just I think the main difference is in level of the skills.
Mm-hmm.
And the form and shape in outcome, I think.
Yes.
So it is not in quality of work. So main point is to lead creativity as a right path for each person.
Uh-huh.
Adult, 4 to 12 age group. Yeah. Or,
I'm sorry, I was distracted by a pigeon, which is inside your balcony.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for that. Yeah. So, so what you're doing is not, your classes are not for adults, right?
No.
You're not doing creativity.
No.
So, you're doing it for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what we need from other people that are doing things like you to have classes that are basically like your classes. You're not only promoting creativity, you're promoting thought and the way people can think. And this is what I understood from your Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That people the kids would sit around a table and they would have debates.
Yeah,
nobody did that to me. I want those classes. Yeah, I always wanted to have a debate or something when I was a kid, but nobody really taught me how to do this. Do you follow some sort of a style, or is it all your ideas, original ideas?
No, I think it's my ideas and the. The idea is developing during the time. It was just not after I started this job. It's just my own style. And, I believe the children are born with natural creativity. And I think the regularity of life and do's and don'ts that are dictated to us make this natural ability fade away. In a metropolitan cities, of course. Mm-hmm. As for example, in academic atmospheres, we learn about rules and regulations, self-hygiene, being tidy, organized, and overall do's and don'ts that we need to in order to survive as a civilized person. But I think my job or even my duty is to teach children how make their own conscious choices in these rules.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, and
so they have some sort of a freedom.
Just
they have a frame of work, something that they need to follow. At the same time, they have enough freedom to develop their own creativity.
No, as a simple example, there is a usual argument between my students and me about cleanliness and being neat.
Yeah.
I always tell them things like, why are you worried about the paint on you or your clothes?
Yeah.
Why don't you concentrate on your artwork or your painting?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be messy here,
mm-hmm.
and the rules are different here, and the rules can be different in different situations. I try to tell them they have to consider the rules, the different rules in different situation.
Yeah.
And they can protect their national creativity with this ability. Yeah. One of my favorite teacher, Mr. Karim Nas, I don't know if you know him or no?
No.
He says, take care of your diamonds. He had a book that name is Take Care of Your Diamonds.
Oh, I see.
Which here refers to our creativity.
I see.
Yeah, and it's about this. It's about your special diamond. You have a special diamond. The book is for children.
I see.
Of course, yeah. He says everybody has a diamond, and they have to recognize this diamond and protect of them. Yeah,
that's actually very true.
Yeah.
Wow, you had a great teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the other things that the first time I looked at your, because my sister told me about you, and she said like you could be a very good candidate to basically sit down and talk with. I started to go through your Instagram account because I didn't know what you did, and then I saw pictures of, you know, kids and you were like, you know, dealing with kids. And like, how does she do this? Because I can't. I'm not saying, I can't stand them. I can't stand kids.
Yeah.
But, cause I kind of remember myself, and I was a very naughty boy. I was very naughty. So wherever I went, like I wasn't, into destroying stuff, but I would do things unimaginable. Like I have that example of myself, and I keep saying, I wasn't a bad kid, fine. But if that's the norm, how am I supposed to stand kids? And you are doing something which is, for me, is absolutely like I can't bear it. So do you have some sort of a secret that you can give me? Like, you know?
No. I can't give you,
yeah.
But I can tell you how I stand with them. You know, I'm lucky because my class and the subject of my class is very exciting for children.
Fine. I always tell my students, because the thing is, the problem with us Iranians, I've said it before, is that we don't really have a lot of confidence when it comes to talking in English. When it comes to talking, like even in Farsi,
yeah.
We don't really have a lot of confidence. Like, if I sit next to a professor, I can't talk because I feel like that guy is in a completely different level. So, what you do, and I told you, those debates that I told you that I was like, I really want to be in those debates, is that I think it gives them the ability to rethink this. And when they become a little bit older, they don't really have that self-confidence issue that other people have. So I think this is why I said that's a very important thing to have. I always tell everybody about this memory that I have. I was a kid, and I was naughty. I was pretty naughty. So my mom used to shop in Plasko.
Oh.
Yeah, and she would take me with her because, of course, I couldn't be alone in the house. And I used to be such a... such a pain in the butt, basically. It was, now when I'm looking back at it, I'm like, oh my God, what was I doing? What was I even thinking? So I remember one time I kept telling my mom that I need to go to the washroom. Like I kept saying, Mom, I need to go. Mom, I need to go. And my mom kept, she thought, like, you know, she knew I was joking and I really wanted to go back home. This is why I was saying that. And she kept saying, one more shop. It's going to be okay. It's going to be over. And we went to this shop. And I was not joking. I really had to go. And I went inside the shop, and my mom started to see the different clothes, and I just couldn't control myself anymore. That was it. That was the limit for me. And I remember, I'm not talking about, like, when I'm saying washroom, I'm not talking about number one. I'm talking about number two. That's what I'm talking about. And so what happened was that I had to let it go. This is all that I remember. I sat down in the middle of the shop, and I simply let it go. And what happened afterwards, I got up and I looked at I looked at my art, basically, and there was this, it was absolutely horrible. I didn't know what to do. So I went to my mom, and I was like, Mom, and I pointed at the at the piece of art that I made. And my mom looked at me like, she wasn't angry or anything. She was just disappointed. And she looked at it, and she was like, she couldn't even talk. She went to the guy, a shopkeeper, and she said, I'm so sorry, I don't know how to tell you this, but my son has made a mess inside your shop. And the guy's reaction was unbelievable. He said, it's okay. He said, it was just fine. It's totally fine. And I was so happy at the time. I was a kid. I didn't understand. I didn't know how bad it was or anything. I wasn't even like shy or anything. I was like, this is, I had to do this. I told my mom several times. So this is maybe those memories when I go back to them, I'm like, I can't, if I have a kid and my kid ever does something like that, I think I just leave my kid inside. I'm like, it's, you're on your own. Do whatever you want to do. I'm going up. So this is I think where it stems from. This is where it comes from. So thank you for the explanation of the whole thing. Yeah. How did you start learning English? Because you're pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
you know, as far as I remember, I've been learning English in private classes, group classes, but I think I wasn't talented enough because I'm still learning English and I'm not happy with my English yet. Yeah.
You should be happy with your English. Yeah. Do you follow a method or something? Or is it like, have you ever had always had private classes, or have you ever gone to different institutes to learn it?
Not now. Mm-hmm. I just have a private class.
Yeah.
We work in my speaking more than anything. Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Do you encourage kids to learn English? Or any other language? Would you like them to, like the kids that come to you to learn creativity, would you tell them like you need to learn another language or something? Would you ever tell them something like this?
Yeah. You know, in my classes and my students, fortunately, all kids speak English.
Oh, okay, that's amazing.
Or even French.
Oh.
Yeah, thanks God.
Yeah,
but,
that's amazing.
But generally, I think the learning English is very important for children or for adults. We are living in information paradigm.
Yeah.
And fortunately or unfortunately, the language of information is English.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know this language, you wouldn't have information.
Exactly.
And if your information is not updated, you will fall behind the world.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah, I completely agree with this. I completely agree. For my thesis, because my main job is architecture, and I'm glad we studied architecture. For my thesis, I chose a child development center, and based on somebody's work. Maybe I don't know if you know him or not. Jean Piaget. He's a psychologist who did almost like his entire life was like he did studies on children and how children's behavior, and. When I finished my project, I was really, really happy about it because I thought about all the activities the kids do. Like, you know, this was my thought. This was my imagination of kids. But nowadays when I look at kids, I don't see any of the parameters that I thought they had. And I basically chose to have them inside my design. I don't really see them anymore. Kids today are very different to, the time that I was a kid.
Yeah.
They know stuff. They know way more than, like, when I talk to 15-year-olds, I talk to 14-year-olds, I have different kids, of like, you know, meaning in my classes. And I can easily sit down and talk to 15-year-olds about
all the
feminism.
Things. Yeah.
Like, they know more than me. Like, I started talking to, I was like, okay, guys, today we're going to talk about feminism. I really wanted to know, like, what they know about this. And they came up with facts, and they were like, yeah, the first wave of feminism was, and I was like, what? How do you even know this? Where do you think that comes from?
Because this is the information paradigm. Mm-hmm. Internet, of course.
Yeah.
I think. You can have any information as you want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's in the tip of your finger, of course. Internet has made it easy. So what I believe is that my design was really outdated. I think I used to sit down, because I did sit down and talk with a kid about the design and everything, and he was like, this is fine, this is okay. But I think in his mind, it was like, this is horrible. I'm not doing any of those things. So that was outdated. How do you keep yourself updated?
Like anyone else,
mm-hmm.
I keep myself updated by reading,
mm-hmm.
Searching on net,
mm-hmm.
Communicating.
You mean different works of different people? Like in child development?
About everything.
I see.
Yeah, but more than anything else, I observe the people who have the same job as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in contact with the other teacher
mm-hmm.
From all the world, online mostly,
yeah.
Of course. And we share our points of view, experiences, observations. That's
yeah, with those people.
Fine.
How different do you think the mentality of a kid is to the mentality of an adult? This is a very general question. I don't want to go into detail. Do you think you can have the same class for adults too? Like, would they appreciate it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the classes
that
you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always people ask me, how do you teach creativity? Is creativity a teachable thing? I just can't speak about creativity. I don't know the generally about the
mentality.
The mentality,
yeah.
But I know about the creativity of adults and kids.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell them to people that I ask me, how do you teach creativity? I tell them, I don't teach creativity at all. I just try to teach them how to keep your natural creativeness.
Yeah.
You know, I think art is a very good cradle for growing your creativity,
mm-hmm.
as a adult or as a child.
Yeah.
Because the art rules naturally lead to creation and being creative. Art has no sharp red lines, and you can progress on it as much as you want. So I think it is not different between kids and adults.
Mm-hmm.
It is a general fact, I think. You can grow and you can keep your natural creativity if you be conscious about this. I think that the art techniques, especially I'm talking about visual art, are very good techniques for practice that you can make their own creative, special roots in life and make their own ideas and shape their own opinions. I think you don't have to be artist. You can just use art for practice your brain, like mathematics.
Yeah.
I think this is a
like a platform.
Like a big platform without the borders.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a great way of putting it. Tell us about your classes individually, because I asked you what do you do, and you said I teach basically creativity.
Uh-huh.
But I think our listeners would like to know what you do exactly in your classes. Can you tell me about your classes?
Yeah, in my classes, there are two parts of my classes. Brainstorming, share ideas about the art or all the things that we obsessed in it. And the I teach the techniques that I know,
mm-hmm.
Like painting, sculpturing, writing something, make puppets,
mm-hmm.
Make animation maybe,
okay.
I don't know, all techniques that I know and that I can learn it.
Learn it?
Yeah, because
like you're always learning, is that what you say? Oh,
yeah,
I
yeah.
see. Okay.
Yeah.
When you said animation, do you ask them to use like a computer to use animation, or is it like how is it?
It's a secret
like
a, little bit.
Oh, okay.
But it's because we have a project
uh-huh.
for the future,
mm-hmm.
And the outcome is an animation.
I see.
And we work with our mobile phone on our devices,
uh-huh.
and the professional animation studio help
uh-huh.
us for this.
Yeah.
They teach us techniques of animation, very traditional animation, and very high tech animation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we do with cardboard
mm-hmm.
and we do with very high-tech devices.
I see. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
The rest of it is secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's an exhibition.
Yeah,
yeah.
I understand. Oh, you said exhibition. I think like it's very important for kids when they make something to sit back and enjoy other people appreciating that.
Yeah.
So do you have exhibitions?
Yeah. We
like,
have.
Of their work?
We have four exhibitions. The last one, it was 2 years ago, which name was Little Guardians. Little Guardians, but it was in Mohsen Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Mohsen Gallery is our producer, but our project is non-beneficial, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this project was a combination of fashion design and recycle art.
Uh-huh.
Kids design a dress for their own with recycled things.
Material.
That they found that things in their own home. Like chocolate cellophones.
I see.
I don't know, broken device, digital devices.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah, some of construction stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So they made these dresses for these things, and the outcome was a picture that Ali Reza Fani, I don't know, you know him or no?
I don't know, but I would love to talk to him.
Yeah. I will see him tonight and I tell him, of course.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Because I love him.
Oh, okay.
I he's one of my favorite artists.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, sure.
And I think he accepts this.
That's
yeah.
great. That's amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm so sorry. Yeah,
yeah.
Please continue.
And Ali Reza took picture of it, and outcome were these pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, one of the other things, because I'm looking at one of the pictures on the wall,
yeah.
and that's like, this is from the thing that you were talking about, right? It's the designing of the clothes, is basically.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that I was thinking about is your presentation.
Uh-huh.
It's professional. So when, as a kid, if somebody would, like, you know, have a professional photographer come to the studio and take photos of me and the design that I've had, I think I would take this seriously. And I would think, like, you know, I think people are appreciating my art, so I need to take this seriously myself. So I think one of the other things that is very important about you and what you do is that you yourself take this seriously. Therefore, you have these professional people come to you. And those professional people, they love what they're doing. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it, like, you know. So I think this is very important to have the presentation that you're having.
Yeah. yeah. At the first, thank you.
Yeah.
And
I'm just observing. I'm a very good observer. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I can refer you that something that I told you. You see kids as a kid or as a normal person.
Yes.
I see them as a adult or normal artists. In my opinion, they are not kids artists. They are just artists.
Yeah.
So they need to serious presentation, and I'm curator of their projects. So my duty is make a serious presentation for them. Of course, with the help of Mohsen Gallery producing me. So.
But those are the thing is, those things about what you said with the help of those are helps. Like, you know, your idea was important. If your idea wasn't as original as it was, and if your idea wasn't as good as it is, nobody will come to help you. That's one thing. And the other thing is that, and I want everybody who's listening to this, please pay attention to what I'm about to say. If you have an idea, please get out and please start doing something about it. Like, if you have the idea in your head and you don't do anything about it, then the idea will forever be in your head, and nobody's ever going to find out what you were you believed in, or what you really wanted to do, or what you could have achieved. So please, if you have an idea, come out, say something about it, or do something about it. Otherwise, you're going to die without anybody knowing that you had something to offer.
Okay.
Fine, yeah, that was something that I was actually thinking
okay,
about.
Okay, I want to tell you, audience, Ali, if he say things to you, he look at a microphone at the time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because I'm focusing on the people who are listening to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have eye contact with your audience.
Exactly. Even though you guys are not present here, I can see you. So, yeah. That's the thing. So, would you ever have kids? Oh, do you have kids?
No.
Hey, wait a second. But you said you can't stand them. I'm kidding. Would you ever have kids? And if yes, how would you raise them? Would you raise them like the other kids that you have in your classes? This is why I'm asking you. You have a great relationship with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you teach them and they respect you. So how would you, like, would that be the same thing that you would implement on your own kids? Or would you have a different way of teaching them or letting them, you know, think freely?
I don't think this is true, because these things is like this. Maybe you are a great artist,
mm-hmm.
but you can't teach art to anybody.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you are a great art teacher, but you can't make a little artwork for yourself. I don't think it's not connect with each other,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I see.
It's,
yeah. I can see that,
yeah.
Okay, fine. How did this idea of a child developing environment came to your mind?
I don't know. When I was 16, I work as a voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
In a TV show for children.
Really?
Yeah.
Do I know you?
Maybe. How old are you?
I'm 26.
26?
Yeah.
Really?
You never thought I was 26? Yeah.
Really?
I get that from people.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you was my audience.
Yeah. I think I must have been, how old are you?
33.
33. Okay,
yeah.
I see.
And I was 16, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember Rangin Kamon?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, Chero, yeah. Chetor, Chie. Yeah. I was Chetor.
No way!
Really?
Okay, fine. Okay,
yeah.
Then I remember you.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't remember the voice, but I remember
yeah.
Chetor, so
yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. That used to be a success, I guess. This is what I believe. Because, of course, I didn't... a truth about this is that as a kid, I did not look... I didn't watch Rangin Kamon because of... the things that they were doing between cartoons. I was watching it because of the cartoons.
Yeah.
I remember they came up with Digimon and stuff, and I was like, I have to watch this. Like, this is something I missed. I always remember this. I used to miss classes. I had English class. I used to just not go because I wanted to watch another episode of Digimon.
Really?
Yeah.
This
is how I... how much I was used to, like, watching.
I hate Digimon.
Seriously?
I didn't understand them.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It was like Ben 10.
Okay.
You know Ben 10?
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yeah. maybe because you were older, I guess. Like, for you, it wasn't...
Maybe.
For me, it was... I used to kept, you know, telling myself, I was like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen? Who's this character is going to turn into? Because they used to turn into different characters. So that's amazing. Fine. So Chaturya, tell me.
Okay. I'm sorry for the noise of your Digimons.
No problem. No problem. Yeah, I used to wait. Yeah.
It was just a hobby for me because I was a student at the time. But this was the start of my getting to know the children world. So after many years passed, I had two specialties. Working with children and painting, of course. So I made up with my own occupation, which was my own mixed recipe.
I see.
Yeah, and after I just started this job, that I realized the importance of it. I think nothing can keep me apart from this now. Maybe I cure myself with this job from all disappointments that I have from this world. I think I'm doing something in order to change the future.
As a teacher, I always have to think about the fact that the people who are inside my class are waiting for me. And if I go inside the class with all the negativity which is surrounding me, because we all have negativity, that's for sure. Like, life is all about you getting past the negative moments and basically going to the positive. I always think about the fact that the people who are waiting for me in the class, they're waiting for somebody to come in and change their mood. It's mostly this for me. I'm not teaching them English. I'm teaching them the ability to express themselves. This is all I care about. And in the institute that I work in right now, Safir, that's the institute I work in, they don't like this idea. Uh-huh. They keep telling me, what are you doing in your classes? Like, you're not supposed to be talking too much. So what I'm getting at is that I believe when you're entering a class, you need to leave everything behind the door and go inside the class with a slate clean, like a white canvas, and go inside and say, hey guys, let's paint this. Do you have the same mentality? Would you go inside a class with everything that's been happening in your life? You say, forget about them for the next, I don't know how long your classes are, for the next hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Let's forget about that and let's go in with a clean slate. Do you do that?
For myself or my children?
Of course, for your children. But you have to say that all the negative things that are happening in my life, I need to forget about them for now because I'm going to teach.
I think I can't tell them forget about all your worry that you have, but always things happen for me. When I was sick, when I was very sick, I came to class and I couldn't remember that I was sick.
Exactly.
And after the class, I was in fever, but in the class, I forget about everything.
Yeah, that's sign of a good teacher.
Yeah. Thank you.
I usually get migraines, and it's something that I have had when I was a baby. I had it. Uh-huh. I mean, of course, I don't remember, but like I did tests and they found that I had migraines.
Your baby now, still now.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. That's actually a very good thing. Yeah. Thank you so much. So I get the migraines. I've had basically migraines during my classes before. And the thing is, my type of migraine is not only headache. It's I can see it. Like, it's a different, like lights become like brighter, and that gives you a lot of headache, basically. So even though I have migraines sometimes in my classes, the interaction that I have with my students and the things that we laugh about and the things that we talk about, I completely forget about it. To the point that I'm like, hey, where did my migraine go? Like, I don't really understand where it went. It works like medication.
Yeah.
And I've said it time and time again to all my students that sometimes I go in my private classes, and I don't take money. Because, of course, private classes are all about, like, you know, they pay you and you go and teach something. But sometimes we talk, and I enjoy the class too much. And I'm saying, like, this was like a therapy for me. I had to pay for therapy to go inside and talk to somebody to get rid of all the negative stuff that I had. But this worked like a therapy for me. How can I charge you?
Yeah.
So, sign of a good teacher. I'm not saying I'm a good teacher, but yeah, you certainly are. What you're doing is amazing.
And the interesting thing is, after that work, they think back. Your headache bad.
Yes. You come out, you're like,
your
oh my God. I had this.
Yeah.
I forgot about it. Anyways, thank you so much for the time. It was amazing, basically, to sit down and talk to you. Somebody that understands something that I lack the ability of understanding that. I don't understand it at all. But you taught me something today, that sometimes you need to sit down and talk to kids because they understand as much as you, and sometimes even more. I believe that. Thank you so much. This is a challenge. Do you think this was a challenge?
Uh-huh.
Do you think you want to challenge anybody else? Of your friends or the people that you think they have something to say?
Another podcast, you mean?
Yes. That they would have, like, it would be, because I know, like, the people who are listening to this, it was exciting for them to listen to you. Fine. Other people that you think are exciting to listen to, would you suggest anybody to me for another podcast?
This is your surprise, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Okay,
so.
Fine. You can tell me after the podcast. And
okay.
At any time you can tell me. Now, fine. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking
to
you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you to finding me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You were not, you were very easy to find. What you're doing is something that I think we don't really have a lot of. So I think you're pretty easy to find. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ms. Borbaha is just a joy to talk to. After our conversation, she finally decided on who she wanted to challenge next and sent me this.
Hi, Ali-jun. This is Tala. I thought about the challenge and I challenged Soraya Kiani because I think she's an impressive artist and you can have a pleasant interview with her.
Great. Well, thank you all for listening to this episode of the podcast. See you soon.
Thank you for tuning in.